我开始了。
Honorable members and our department legal section. I think today surely we are going to finish with this bill. Definitely, I think so. I'm very positive, and all members I think that we think that we have done what we're supposed to do. I'm not going to take a lot of time because we've got another program after this. We've got another meeting immediately after this one. I'm just going to request members, we know each other, that we go straight to the business of the day. I'm going to request the delegates, permanent delegates, to read their mandates and where we don't have and rep from a province, will ask somebody to read that mandate on behalf of that province. Our second, we start with Eastern Cape.
Thanks, Chairperson. Voting mandate. Name of Bill, Basic Education Law Amendment Bill, number of bill, B36G of 2010.
Date of deliberation, 27 July 2011. Vote of the legislature. The province supports the bill and confers mandate to the Eastern Cape delegate to the NCOP to vote in favor of the adoption of the bill. Deputy Speaker, Bill Tonyiswa.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Dividend, can I request you to read for KZN?
Yes, thank you. I will do so, Honourable Chairperson. Final mandate.
Your mic, please.
Oh, sorry, thank you.
I know we are from Brussels.
Final mandate of KwaZulu-Natal Provincial Legislature, number of the bill B36D 2010 reprint. Vote of the legislature, the KwaZulu-Natal legislature met today, Thursday, the 28th of July, and agreed to mandate the KwaZulu-Natal delegation to the National Council of Provinces to support the Basic Education Laws Amendment Bill B36D 2010 reprint, signed by the Deputy Speaker.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Borocho, I'm going to request you to read the one of Limpopo.
Thank you, Chair. name of the Bill, Basic Education Amendment Laws Bill, number 360, 2010, reprint. Date of deliberation, the 22nd June 2011. The Portfolio Committee on Education hereby confers a final mandate to the Limpopo Provincial Permanent Delegate to vote in favor of the bill, signed by Honorable Pala, the Speaker of the Legislature. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Still on that note, Mpumalanga.
The final mandate. Number of the bill, B36G 2010, date of deliberation, 21st June 2011, vote of the legislature. The Mpumalanga Provincial Legislature votes in favor of the Basic Education Laws Amendment Bill 2010, signed by the Honorable Speaker of the Provincial Legislature. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable.
Thank you.
Thank you, the voice from name of the bill, Basic Education Laws Amendment Bill, number of bill B36D 2010 reprint. The Northwest Province agrees with the amendments made on the bill as well as the long title of the bill. The Northwest Province agrees that the bill be printed as Basic Education Law Amendment Bill reprint B36B 2010, the Northwest Province agrees to give the final mandate to the delegate of the National Council of Provinces, therefore voting in favor of the bill. Signed by Honorable MZ Hosho, Deputy Speaker, Northwest Provincial Legislature. Okay. Can we move to Northern Cape? Honorable Hanto.
Northern Cape, Provincial Legislature of Autumn Mandate, name of Bill, Basic Education Laws Amendment Bill. Number is the reprint B36B 2010. Age of deliberation Wednesday, 27th July. The legislature votes in favor of the bill. Signed by J.T. Bukas, Deputy Speaker.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable De Villiers, Western Cape.
Chairperson, the name of the bill, Basic Education Laws Amendment Bill, number B36D, 2010 reprint, date of deliberation is 2nd of August 2010. Vote of the legislature votes in favor of the bill, signed by the Honorable Speaker, Honorable Isaacs.
Thank you, Honorable De Villiers. Honorable members, I'm just going to read the report.
Chairperson, can I have a question?
Chairperson, is this bill from Western Cape okay? Is it not done by Honorable De Villiers in his office? The mandate from Western Cape, is it okay that the law allow us to give a paper like this to them? No letterheads, no everything. I think, what if it's done by Honorable De Villiers in his office?
Now, let me just clarify that maybe I didn't have that opportunity. Honorable Ranto, we have picked up this thing. We've communicated with the province. So they're going to send the one on the letterhead immediately after this.
Yeah, but my honorable colleague, she must just be careful because she is actually treading on my integrity.
thank you, honorable members. Thank you, honorable members and our officials here. Let me just send through our report. The report reads as report of the Select Committee on Education and Recreation on the Basic Education Laws Amendment Bill, B36. Sorry about that. The Select Committee on Education and Recreation, having considered the subject of the Basic Education Laws Amendment Bill, B36D, reprint 2010, National Assembly, Section 76(1), referred to it and classified by the joint taking mechanism as a Section 76 bill, reports that it has agreed to the bill's amendment, B36D, reprint 2010. Mm-hmm. Are we in agreement?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I'll attach my signature. Thank you, honorable members, and thank you, our legal section. You are excused. We are preparing for the next meeting. I'm going to go to the hospital.
When it's cold, you must eat something very cold.
Wonder about 1962, no,
1988
can do that. Not till number 14.
That's why you can start.
Honorable members,
tourism.
Honourable, what's your package?
No, I'm leaving.
Oh, you're leaving?
I apologize, please.
Oh, fine.
That's why I didn't bring it.
Oh, that's fine.
My package is in the office and my keys are at Akashi Park.
Then we'll have to
say, you can share.
No. Honourable members, the two members will sort that out. Can we start with the minutes? We've got set of minutes of the 13th April 2011, 28th April 2011, 25th May, 1st June, 8th June, 15th June. Let's firstly deal with the minutes before we go to the report. Do you all have those sets?
Yes,
sir. Can we start with the set of the 13th April?
Just before we start, can you just take note of the apology of Honorable Palmer? So that you can. Then on the minutes of the 13th of April, I propose to accept the minutes.
Person in the minutes, I see it's Honorable Dimitrios who proposed it, and so we are still continuing. I second every time he proposed, I will second.
Okay.
That's
good.
So you will propose to second?
All the time.
All the time.
For adoption.
I second the adoption.
Honorable Dimitrios proposed for adoption. Honorable Antoine seconded. Thank you. The second set of the 20th April. Honorable Dillian.
Chairperson, on page 1. The first page. Page 1. Honorable Faber and myself, next to my name there is Northern Cape.
Northern Cape, yes.
And then on page 4, can I continue?
Yes.
On page 4, I picked up the department reported South Cape and Western Cape do not have challenges of mud schools. It was further noted that 10 amount of approximately 500, the TAN amount, that amount, the, I think it must be this. The amount. And then on page 5, the last paragraph, the second sentence, these schools make up 90%. Then follow up, it was noted that the schools contributed to 35%. And then going on to the next sentence thereafter, the second one, an independent. And then the next sentence, the department reported that generally cannot be the only way to move. Then page 6, the first sentence, the committee wanted progress with regard to the program to improve the level of innumeracy. So the first committee wanted progress with regard to the programs to improve the level of numeracy and literacy. And then the second one, the department reported that the action plan focuses on the literacy. Must be on literacy.
On literacy.
Yeah. And then the third, the fourth paragraph. 1, 2, 3, the fourth, the third sentence. 1, 2, 3, the fourth line. This was due to challenges it faced with its data system. You got it?
Yes.
And then after the sentence, there's a problem with the sentence. My understanding maybe must be the problem. The department reported that, and I think it must be the department reported that delays and late delivery of stationery in the Eastern Cape were caused by, amongst other things, lack of proper implementation of supply chain policies and processes. Maybe my sentence can also be wrong, but that must be the right one. On my impression, the department reported that the delays that caused late delivery of stationery in the Eastern Cape were caused by, amongst one other matters, lack of proper. So the sentence confused me. So then I put in other words there.
Amongst others is lack of. Is it not amongst others is lack of proper?
Can I
your version.
Yeah, my version. The department reported that delays and late delivery of stationery in the Eastern Cape were caused by, amongst other things, lack of, maybe there must be commas in between, amongst other things, lack of proper implementation of supply chain policies and processes. The lack and the slow delivery was due to a lack of proper implementation of supply chain policies.
Yeah.
That is the meaning of the sentence.
Are we agreed?
Did you say, sorry, Chairperson. Did Mr. Villiers say the department reported that the delays?
No.
That delays and
late deliveries of stationery. So delays of stationery and the late deliveries of stationery in the Eastern Cape were caused by, comma, amongst other things, comma, lack of proper implementation of supply chain policies and processes. Agree with me.
Does it not say the department reported that the delays, that caused the late delivery? It's the delays that caused the late delivery. It's not the delays and the late delivery. It's the delays and that caused the late delivery of stationery.
That's what delays. You know the thing is.
But anyway, maybe
the
department. The delays that caused, okay, listen, the delays that caused the late delivery of stationery in the Eastern Cape, the delays were caused by, amongst other things, lack of proper implementation of supply chain policies and processes. It is the delays that caused the late delivery.
I'm going to suggest that. Honorable members, I'm going to suggest that because Honorable Ranto and Honorable Divina, they've agreed that direct him, that they phrase that sentence and then they'll put it together as a team.
Mm. Can I continue?
Yeah.
Then
your mic, Honorable.
The third paragraph from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
The department reported that the program focuses on the 200 schools. It was further noted that the spending of grant for this program was very low.
Yes.
Or is very low. Was that a correct word? Is very low.
Was low.
And then the next one, the department wanted clarity on the programs. It's not the department, it's the committee. The committee wanted clarity on the programs to ensure proper monitoring and evaluation. And then the last one, the second last sentence. It does not get allocation the following year in cases where there has been underspending. I think that must be one sentence. The second last question. On page 6. In cases, that is the second sentence on the last paragraph. In cases where it has been proved that a particular province has failed to spend its allocated budget, it does not get allocation the following year. In case where there has been underspending. So it's one sentence.
Yeah.
And then, Honorable Chairperson, on page 7, the first sentence, the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation is providing support. It's not a department, the Department of Monitoring, it's a program or something.
It's a program.
Else. Of Monitoring and Evaluation is providing support in this regard.
In fact, what they were talking about here, Mr. Tivillas, is the department in the presidency. That's the department headed by Minister Chawan that provides monitoring and evaluation to the Department of Education when they have problems of this nature. So the department that was approached here by Basic Education is the Monitoring and Evaluation Department, which is in the presidency.
So I think for somebody else to know that, because you would be not there to clarify these minutes. So you should indicate that the department that the department that is written here is the department in the presidency that is for monitoring and evaluation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that it might not look like it's the Department of Education.
Mm-hmm. Of a Department of Monitoring.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Then the 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph. Fourth one, the committee wanted to if the new officers. I think it was the committee wanted to know. Yeah. If the new officers of the department have been completed. Wanted to know. And that's all I picked up. Thank you very much.
Is there anything from other members? Any mover for adoption with amendment?
A move with adoption.
I move. And with the adoption, I move the adoption of the minutes with the amendment.
Any seconded to that?
And Honourable Chairperson, I second.
Honourable Shodi seconded adoption with amendment. Thank you, Honourable Members. Honourable Members, let me check. We are supposed to meet the Department of Science and Technology. I just want to check from you because we said that we'll be meeting them at 3 o'clock. So they're already here. Can we maybe suspend the issue of the minutes and the report and deal with that and we'll proceed afterwards?
Yeah, I have. Yes,
thank you.
I'm sorry that we had to cancel our appointment. We had an appointment to see each other yesterday, but I had to cancel it because we had a ministerial management meeting in the morning in Pretoria.
No, I had to sit to
apologize. My apologies, ma'am. No,
thank you.
Honorable members and our delegate from the Department of Science and Technology. This is our second meeting. So let me just take this opportunity to welcome you to this meeting. And because we meet with science and technology very seldom, I won't do it as in basic education where we thought that it was not necessary to introduce ourselves because we interact a lot with them. I'm just going to request members to introduce themselves, and then Sisi, you'll introduce your delegation. Let's go there on the
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Sipho Plaiki. I'm representing the Northwest Province in the NCOP. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael De Villiers. I'm representing the Western Cape Province in the NCOP. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Good afternoon. My name is Vivian Shuri. I'm coming from the Free State Province.
Akshay Kamalan Mutin Kim Nolbe, representing Gauteng, who ends up here. Molwen Ikamalan Mutin Ula Ranto Ndi Suka.
Afternoon, I'm Wendy Makati from the Northwest Province, the chairperson of the Select Committee.
Chairperson and honorable members, my name is Malapa Kovela. Deputy Director General for Human Capital and Knowledge Systems in the Department of Science and Technology. I do hope we have an opportunity one of these good days, and depending on your schedule, honorable members, for us to spend some time with you to account for the work that the department does for our country. And I would request my colleagues, with your permission, to introduce themselves.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Thomas Alterheide. I'm the Deputy Director General responsible for international cooperation issues. I will be here today to brief you on the static protocol and hopefully answer questions that you may have. I would like to join my colleague, Dr. Cabrera, in saying that we look forward to this engagement. This is my first opportunity to meet with members of the select committee, and I'm looking forward to it. And I also hope that we might have opportunities in the future to engage with you on other matters relating to science and technology in the country. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair members. My name is Tulani Mabuso. I'm the Acting Chief Operations Officer of the Department of Science and Technology.
Afternoon, Honourable Chair and members. I'm Annalene Morgan from the Department of Science and Technology, the Director responsible for Africa Cooperation.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Chair and Honourable.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Tito Rasingal from the Department from the Legal Services Unit. Thank you.
I think members
will no. We are not going to take it for granted.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Rianda, my surname is Franz, the Parliamentary Affairs Office in the Ministry of Science and Technology.
The two gentlemen.
Sengen Baloi is the researcher for this committee. Ms. Rianda Langa, secretary to the committee.
Thank you. I see PNG there.
Yes.
You're welcome. Thank you. Honorable members, I'm proposing that we are having a program, an agenda before us. I'm going to propose that we start with the shortlisting. So that, because the other one, it will be a briefing that we'll have also to interact with. Is it fine?
It's okay.
Is it fine?
It's fine.
Yes,
okay.
Over to you.
Chair and honorable members, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. The matter that is in front of the select committee this afternoon is with respect to the shortlisted candidates for the Governing Board of the National Research Foundation. It is here as part of fulfillment, not just in terms of the letter of the law, but I think the spirit of the law, which says that the Minister of Science and Technology must consult with both houses of Parliament prior to making a decision on the appointment of the Board of the National Research Foundation. Section 6 of the Act in particular make such reference. The National Research Foundation, honorable members, is our national agency that has a mandate, a statutory mandate, because it's a creation of law, to support and promote research through funding, human resource development, and the provision of necessary research facilities in order to facilitate the creation of knowledge, innovation, development in all fields of science and technology. So science in this context is everything that is not just merely physical. It's not just the so-called clever physicists, but it's also the clever social scientists, the people who do humanities, everything from history through to zoology, including other forms of science. This is this agency that runs, I think honorable members may be aware, we have something called the Southern African Large Telescope in Sutherland. So we have an observatory called the South African Astronomical Observatory in Sutherland, and its head office is down here in Observatory in Cape Town. And so that's one of its children. Another one that is in Cape Town is the Itemba Labs, the Laboratory for Accelerated Base Sciences, which does some aspects of which is nuclear medicine as well.
and you've got others scattered throughout the country. So this is what this agency does, including in particular supporting students to be able to conduct and pursue postgraduate education. So undergraduate studies, I think honorable members would be aware of the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. That's the body that the government has put together to help young people attain university education at the undergraduate level. The National Research Foundation does similar work, but not necessarily exactly the same mandate at the NSFAS, but a similar work for postgraduate. So if you want to, and I would encourage members and children and others to pursue a doctorate, to pursue masters, to pursue honors, that's what they fund. And so in broad terms, Chairperson, the core business really of the NRF is agency function, which is what I've just alluded to, which is to provide the developmental support to students for postgraduate studies and also to researchers to help them conduct high quality science and scientific research. These are the people that hopefully give us new ideas about how to solve social or economic problems or any other problems that we have through the scientific investigation. The National Research Foundation is governed, chaired by a board of 12 members appointed by the minister through a process that obviously requires the minister to first of all call for open nominations. One considers a whole range of requirements to come to a shortlist, and then that shortlist is presented to both houses of parliament before, hopefully for full support, before any process can be taken further. The primary legal function of this board or fiduciary responsibility is to govern the NRF and to govern in the best interest of not just the organization but in the country. So what is important is that they must do so to fulfill the mandate of this organization, which is, I will always remind myself and others, is a public mandate. It is, in doing its work, expected to take full account of the interests and expectations of a wide range of stakeholders, not just the state, but also the people that it's supposed to serve, including researchers and other beneficiaries. Chair, members of the board are appointed in their personal capacities. They're not expected to come in merely representing sectoral stakeholders. There is an expectation that when you come in, you perform your duty in the best interest of the country. You bring your experience, you bring your expertise, you bring knowledge and skills and many other attributes that will create a diversity of views and opinions. But at the heart of why you are there is to serve and to serve the country through this organization. Part of and I'll come to the shortlisted candidates, which I believe Chairperson is in front of the House. Part of the challenge is to ensure that in trying to come up with a shortlist, you balance the whole degree of what I would call needs that would constitute good governance. And therefore, if you are a board of directors, you must have the capacity as individuals to provide guidance and leadership to the management. So your stature, your knowledge, your skills, your competencies must have be of such a nature that you are able to provide the necessary leadership to the people who are supposed to manage this organization. Otherwise, you won't be able to provide oversight. Much of what the board also does is to execute through the way in which they make policy choices at a governing level, to execute policy of government, because this is, remember, a public institution. And so they, we don't need at this juncture in terms of policy approaches of a public entity relative to what I think the state is trying to do. So one's understanding of the policy making process becomes important. Similarly, the members need to have appropriate knowledge, skills, diversity of knowledge. Remember, Chairperson, I said that we're covering science in all its dimensions. So you need to have, just can't be people who come from mathematicians or physicists alone. You need that diversity of knowledge. You need to have skills. You can't have within the board of directors a situation where, for instance, you don't have a person who could potentially be the chair of the audit committee. Because the next question that the House will ask is, how do we know that these people can look after the 2 billion rand that the state allocates? So you need to have chartered accountants, at least in such an environment. Experience, expertise, attitudes, and aptitude. I don't want to stress the issue of attitude and aptitude, because it is an issue of, you are here to serve. You are not here to bid for your own sectoral interest. And so your willingness to perform what is required becomes an important aspect. Chair, I think we were blessed. We really were incredibly blessed by the number and the multitude of individuals who put themselves forward for such a... I think if my memory serves me correctly, but I can give you the exact figures, there were 92 nominees. That included some individuals who were eligible for reappointment from the current board. It's not easy bringing down a number from 92 to less than 20. Because you've got to find a balance between continuity, people who were previously on the board, as well as the diversity of issues that one has just gone through. As well as we are living in a country which is going through transition as a nation. You cannot be blind to the realities of the demographics of our country, not just racial demographics, but gender, as well as the diversity of experiences that different people from different parts of our country bring. And so it was not an easy process to come to a suggested shortlist. Chair, the minister wrote a letter to the chairperson of the House, and in that letter, I do believe it outlined in a generic sense much of what I tried to present. And it also presented a proposed shortlist. And it is in that context that should the House wish, I can certainly go through the individuals. But you will find a diversity of individuals, both in terms of experience, in terms of what they do, in terms of their knowledge, in terms of continuity from the past, because you don't want to lose that you have invested in historically. and certainly in terms of both gender and race. Out of a short list, the minister would then, I do believe, take the matter to the Cabinet of the Republic, and a chairperson would therefore be duly appointed, as well as 11 other members of the board. So, chairperson, let me pause there and see guidance as to how best to take this process further.
Honorable members, as we all have our documents before us, and at the last page, there's a proposed suggested board members. The last page.
I'm
working on the paper. So I'm just going to request that we allow Gigi to just read the names.
Read the names.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. With your permission, Chair, what is in front of the House is the full list of that last page. The suggested is merely a suggestion. But if I may start with those that are eligible for reappointment, would be the first six names at the top. Professor Fredrickson, Dr. Mahau, Mr. Nichianda, Dr. Pile, Ms. Romano, and Ms. Yogwana. Those are colleagues that are currently on the board. And I think one was appreciative of that list and the need for them to be, in essence, part of the possibility of continuity going forward. When it says suggested board, it is not necessarily to say that this is the names that will eventually be appointed, but it is merely that I have no authority as an official chairperson to otherwise I think I can get clocked quite easily. Dr. Pile is a professor of education at the University of Pretoria. I'm looking at the suggested in terms of number one, and the details are in the preceding pages. Ms. Francesca Romano is the immediate past. She was the chief financial officer of Uphold, and I think has just recently moved and joined another company. It's a mining company. I can't remember which one. With his Andrew Platz, a chartered accountant by profession. Professor Mala Singh is a professor of education and philosophy, currently at the Open University in the United Kingdom, returning, she should actually be back, she was returning at the end of July. Previously, she was the executive director for the Higher Education Quality Committee of the Council on Higher Education, the body that is responsible for the quality assurance of the entire university system. And prior to that, the executive director for the Center for Science Development. Professor Sunil Maharaj is a research chair in mathematics at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. Professor Murray Leibrand, a similar chair in economics at the University of Cape Town. Murray is an economist. And then Professor Peter Clayton is a computer scientist. Engineering computer scientist from Rhodes University. He's the Deputy Vice Chancellor. Dr. Peleo Lolwana, you would probably know her, honorable members. You would know that those of us that have children, there's somebody who signs the matric certificates. Peleo was the former CEO of Umalusi. She's currently now at the University of Witwatersrand, heading the education policy unit. Professor Robin Cruz, an entomologist by training, and the current head of the Academy of Sciences, of South Africa, retired from the University of Pretoria. Dr. Andre Fauri is an environmental scientist and at the South African Breweries. again, the need to infuse a relationship between the public and the private sector. Dr. Khoso Makhele, excuse me, is a microbiologist and currently a business person. He is the former CEO of the National Research Foundation. Currently, he is also the Chancellor of the University of the Free State and the Chairman of Anglo Platinum. Professor Errol Chwabeka, biochemist by profession, the former Vice Chancellor of the Swan University of Technology, which regrettably has been in the news for the wrong reasons of late. Professor Ben Cousins is a research chair in development management at the University of Western Cape with a focus on agrarian studies and land reform in particular. And then I do wish to just continue because it's a full list that is under consideration. Dr. Masia is a chemist, one of our up-and-coming young chemists, a lady. In fact, I will go back and indicate which are the ladies at the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research. She's at the CSIR. Professor Seeley is an archaeologist at the University of Cape Town, the head of Department of Archaeology at the University of Cape Town. Professor Stella Nkomo is a professor of Management Studies at the University of Pretoria, and Professor Andrew Crouch. By profession, he is a chemist and the current Dean of Science at the University of Witwatersrand. If I may, Chairperson, with your permission, indicate who are male, female, in the context of the detail, again, is in the big pack. Professor Crouch is a male. Professor Nkomo is a lady. Professor Seeley, lady. Dr. Mosia, a lady. Professor Cousins, a man. Professor Chopeka, a man. Mokhele, Bori, as well as crew. Dr. Lolwana is a lady. Professor Leibrand and Maharaj are men. And Professor Singh, Miss Romano, and Dr. Pillay are all ladies. So, Chair, again, I could pause there. I can go into, there is more detail on the individuals in their abridged curriculum vitae in terms of what they have done, what their backgrounds are, their qualifications. And I think we have tried our best, Chairperson, to pull together a short list of possible candidates who would be able to do justice to, I think, what is an enormous task at hand of the Board of Stature. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the briefing and the presentation. Honourable members, are there any clarity-seeking questions, or is there anything that you would like to check with Honourable Dibila?
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Honourable Dibila, Honourable Mube, is it the only two hands? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think the information amongst us and the work done is very good, and I can see that it is people who are very concerned about this foundation. But I consult with my colleagues in the National Assembly, the Portfolio Committee, and there was a question around Professor Tobeka. Errol Tobeka. Can I just get that information? Did you saw that question asked? Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. Good afternoon. Mine is an easy one. There are those people who are called slow learners in the class. So, because I'm slow, here you have 86 nominees. And you remained with the 16. So one just wants to know, to say, how did you arrive at the 16? From 86, was it just then call for interviews or what processes did you follow to arrive at 16? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable.
Chair, if I may, with your permission, take the Honourable de Villiers' question first. There was a matter that arose in the National Assembly, the Portfolio Committee of Science and Technology in the National Assembly, regarding Professor Chobega's departure from the Tshwane University of Technology. Perceptions that he might have left under a cloud. We did, and we are always conscious of the need to make sure that anybody who comes here does not have a cloud hanging over them. And we provided the Portfolio Committee written confirmation that the circumstances that led to Professor Chobega's departure from the Tshwane University of Technology were natural. A natural ending of his contract, and we had that written confirmation. We provided that to the Portfolio Committee, and we can certainly do the same to this House without any difficulties. I think we have it at hand. The second chairperson, Ms. Gubis, question, it's a difficult process. It's a very, very difficult one because, as I indicated earlier, we were incredibly blessed. Not just the numbers, but the caliber of the people. Because in here are men and women of substance in that list of 80 plus. And people who are putting themselves forward to be able to say, look, I'm ready to serve. Not easy to balance the need for continuity, the need for experience, the need for all the different qualities that I tried to raise earlier. And we requested each person obviously to provide a detailed CV, and all CVs are available should members wish to go through any. We went through the requirements of the Act. The Act does outline certain minimum statutory requirements, and so that's the first filter. Other filters include other filters, chairperson, include the need to manage continuity. And appreciate, and I really do not want to sound as if I'm being negative, but I also recognize that some people might not necessarily have participated historically in terms of the current board with the same vigor that you would have expected. So these are matters that are not necessarily straightforward, but you know, I think honorable members could even look at the annual reports and you'll be able to see who's attended, how many meetings the person has attended, and so these are things that you do take into account. The next layer of filter then is you need to have appropriate individuals to be able to chair particular committees. So you've got to have a chartered accountant, and that's why I think you've seen Siamano here. You need people who have the necessary competence, stature. So it was not interviews of individuals, but it was using the evidence that has been provided both through the curriculum vitae as well as other documented evidence, and using that and using the filter of the requirements that have been articulated both in law and in terms of good corporate governance to arrive at a very difficult shortlist. Because I think there are others that you might, honorable members, feel that somebody might have been hard done, but then equally you could say if you were to bring them in, who do you then leave out? So these are difficulties, but it's more a blessing to have better quality than not, and have the difficulty of coming with it. With the shortlist. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anything honourable members? Honourable members, are you fine?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Now, Chairperson, on a lighter note, I'm not sure whether this reflection is what the department is in terms of the principles, gender, for instance.
Yes, yes, yes.
And if it is the case, I know
no.
There's something wrong.
Chairperson, with your permission, we are led by a very powerful leader. Yes, and I've had the privilege of working for her for many years. And she takes the issue that you've raised very seriously. And I think it is a privilege for me to actually indicate that starting, when was it, Monday, the cabinet had appointed a certain Mrs. Mugwena as our new Deputy Director General for Corporate Services. There are two posts that are currently in the process of being filled. That is being the Chief Operations Officer. Mr. Mabuso is currently acting in that position. And there is a post of Deputy Director General for Socioeconomic Partnerships. And so I do believe that our minister is a person and provides the necessary leadership to ensure that what is right does actually happen.
Thank you, Dr. Kubena. I've been avoiding to pronounce. But sometimes you're just forced to come. Honorable members, now that we are agreeing to the shortlist, so I'm just going to read our report as the select committee. The Select Committee on Education and Recreation, having considered the short list of candidates for appointment to the board of NRF in terms of Section 6(2)(c) of the National Research Foundation Act 1998, number 23 of 1998, reports that it agrees to the following short list of candidates. We've got Professor P. Clayton, Professor R. Kruwe, Professor A. M. Conch, Dr. A. Porritt, Professor M. Lebrandt, Dr. P. Lolwana, Dr. K. Mokhele, Dr. M. Musia, Professor S. Ngomo, Dr. V. Pele, Ms. T. Ramano, Professor J. Sili, Professor M. Say, Professor S. Maharaj, Professor E. Chobeka, Professor B. Cousins. Those are the names that we agreed to as the select committee. Honourable members, I'm signing on your behalf. Thank you, honourable members.
Thank you, Chair.
Can we move to the second item on the agenda? This agenda.
First, you read up to number 12. 16. Okay. As I told you, I'm slow.
Let's go straight to the briefing on the SADC protocol.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. It's my privilege to brief you on the SADC protocol and background of the SADC protocol and on its intent. Perhaps just some opening remarks. Science and technology is a very important factor in international cooperation and international relations. We have science and technology relationships with a wide range of countries. We work together on science and technology and research activities with countries in the north, as well as countries in the south, and of course also with many African countries. Researchers and academics in South Africa work jointly with researchers and academics in all parts of the world. Honourable Members and Chair, you will appreciate, I'm sure, that science is fundamentally an international activity. Modern science is fundamentally an international activity. And in fact, 43% of South Africa's published scientific research output, 43% is published with collaborators from outside of South Africa. So nearly half of our scientific output is produced with international co-authors. That indicates the importance of international cooperation. You will also, I'm sure, appreciate that for perverted historical reasons, South Africa's cooperation is very strongly skewed towards the north, and there is not nearly sufficient international scientific cooperation happening between South Africa and southern countries, and in particular between South Africa and African countries. It is starting to pick up, but it requires significant effort on behalf of South Africa and the Department of Science and Technology to create a framework and to create conditions in which South African researchers take up the opportunities of cooperating with researchers in other African countries. This SADC protocol, Chair and Honourable Members, is part of that framework that we are creating to encourage cooperation between the South African science system and the science systems in other African countries. The SADC protocol specifically is focused, of course, then on encouraging interaction between our national science system and that of SADC member states. The history of the SADC protocol began in 2006 when a SADC declaration on science, technology and innovation was drafted by senior officials in the region and adopted by ministers of science and technology in Pretoria. In 2007, SADC officials drafted a SADC protocol on science, technology and innovation during a meeting in Durban and subsequent engagements. And later that year, the ministers of science and technology approved this protocol at a meeting in Pretoria. And in 2008, during the SADC heads of state and government meeting in Johannesburg, this protocol was approved by the heads of state. The former President Mbeki signed this on behalf of South Africa. That kick-started then the process that hopefully Honourable Chair and Members will come to a conclusion today with hopefully your agreement that the that the protocol should be ratified by South Africa. And that process of ratification then began with a draft cabinet memo in 2009, which was then presented in October to the African Renaissance Committee, which is a subcommittee of the ICTS cluster, the International Cooperation, Trade and Security Cluster. In the African Renaissance Committee approved the protocol and took note of it. And then in November, it was presented to the cluster as a whole. And in February 2010, it was presented to the Cabinet Committee of the ICTS cluster. In April 2010, it was tabled in Parliament. In July last year, we made a presentation to the Portfolio Committee. The Portfolio Committee had some questions about the legal process. It really needed to understand what its role was around the protocol. So it wasn't about the content of the protocol, but about the role of the Portfolio Committee in ratifying the protocol. And so we retabled this in February this year with another presentation to the Portfolio Committee, who then agreed to support the ratification of the protocol. The key objectives of the protocol, there are four. The first is to provide a base for development of institutional mechanisms for regional cooperation and coordination of science, technology and innovation. So there is, as honourable members will know, a SADC executive secretariat that sits in Gaborone in Botswana. And this protocol establishes a structure within the executive secretariat, namely the science technology desk, that is meant to coordinate science and technology activities within the SADC region. So that's part of the objective of the protocol. The second objective is to ensure proper coordination of resources for regional SCI, science, technology and innovation programs, as identified in the Regional Indicative Strategic Development Plan. That's a development plan adopted by the SADC heads of state, and the CPA, which is the Consolidated Plan of Action for Science and Technology. This is an AU-approved science and technology roadmap for the continent. So the second objective is to coordinate the securing of resources and the allocation of resources. The third objective of the protocol is to promote development and harmonization of SCI approaches in the region. It's not helpful if the countries in the region don't have similar approaches in terms of the development of science and technology, the promotion of science and technology. So it's meant to try and harmonize that. And then lastly, to maximize public and private investment in research and development in the region. So these, honorable chair and members, are the four key objectives. Since you have been provided a copy of the protocol, I thought instead of trying to read it out to you or spending time talking about the protocol, I might just spend a bit of time giving the honorable committee some insight into the sort of regional science and technology activities that are currently going on already within SADC. And the next slide, regional STI interventions, highlights these. For example, we are leading in the development of a policy. I'm not sure if it's this.
Should I push it? Can this one?
Sure. I apologize. Thanks. Hopefully this doesn't seem to be much better.
I'll try that.
Maybe it's a little bit too close. Yes. The SADC policy training, we are leading in the creation of a training program for senior SADC science and technology officials to build capacity in the region on how to develop science and technology policy, because South Africa's science system is comparatively well developed. And part of that development is our capacity to develop science and technology policy. And this really is a very important capacity that needs to be developed in other regional countries too. in order to help develop their national science systems. The Women in Science program is a very important aspect, for example, of the regional priorities. As my colleague Molapo earlier on already indicated, we have a minister who has a strong views on this, is a strong champion of women's advancement and empowerment in science and education, and we very much take the cue from her on this. So we've been very active in promoting various women in science initiatives and have held several workshops within the region to promote the role of women in science in the SADC region. We have also recently been successful in coordinating together with other member states the development of a science, technology and innovation strategy. The protocol, as members will have seen, is really a very high-level overarching framework meant to encourage coordination in the region of science and technology activities. What is needed is a detailed strategy on what will we actually do together as a region in science and technology, what kind of projects and priorities will we be pursuing. And this science, technology and innovation strategy is at a very advanced stage. SADC IKS, let me pick that up, that's Indigenous Knowledge Systems. As you will appreciate, Honourable Members and Honourable Chair, not only South Africa, but most of the countries in the region are blessed with significant indigenous resources in terms of plant biodiversity, for example, indigenous knowledge about those plants. And this knowledge and the plants together present significant opportunities for the development of pharmaceuticals and various food products that can make us less dependent on imported pharmaceutical products, for example. And so it is an objective of not just South Africa, but many countries in the region, to develop local manufacturing capacities based on their indigenous knowledge of their biodiversity. And we've held several workshops and are providing significant leadership in the region in the development of IKS capacities. SADC Climate Change, with South Africa hosting the World Cup of Climate Change processes this year. Last year it was football, this year it's climate change. At the end of the year we'll be hosting the Conference of the Parties on Climate Change. And we have initiated a very successful project within SADC, bringing together science and technology officials, as well as officials from the environmental ministries in the region, and researchers involved in climate change, bringing them together to develop a program for climate change science and technology activities in the region. And then that last one, SADC Blue Gene, I thought I should just make sure that colleagues, that the honourable members and the chair understand what this is about. The IBM computer company donated a supercomputer to SADC. It's an African facility. It's housed here in Cape Town at the Center for High Performance Computing. It's a high performance supercomputer that was donated by IBM to the African science and ICT community. We were asked to manage this computer on behalf of Africa, and we have run several workshops, both regionally as well as continentally, around supercomputing, using this computer as the base for that initiative. So you'll see, hopefully, honourable members, a wide range of activities that South Africa is already engaged in with countries in the region. Many of these we are championing and leading, but not all of them. But some of them, other countries are cooperating with us in providing leadership. Chair, the next slide brings me very briefly to some of the financial implications of this protocol. It's not a secret, Honourable Chair and members, that South Africa's economy is bigger than that of any other SADC member state. It's also not a secret that South Africa's science system is considerably more advanced than that of any other member state. Consequently, it should be obvious that we have a significant responsibility to assist, within reason, the development of science and technology systems within the region. This is in our self-interest too. This is not simply an ethical responsibility we have, a historical responsibility. It is in our national interests. Because if we want to increase trade in the region, and if we want to increase regional integration within SADC, we can only, or we can best do that if the general standard of living in the SADC region is improved, if SADC economies generally are modernized. And science and technology is a very important contributor to the modernization of the regional economy. And so we have a strong self-interest also, Honorable Chair and members, not just the ethical and moral responsibility, but also a strong self-interest in promoting the development of science and technology within the region. And in accordance with that, our department does provide financial support to some of these regional initiatives. But I want to stress that we do require African partner countries, or SADC partner countries in this case, to also contribute to these activities. There's a matter of principle here, but also a matter of policy involved in this. And increasingly we're seeing that those countries are indeed coming to the table and sponsoring certain activities where we have to pay no more than our own costs in participating in these. Countries like Namibia and Botswana, for example, are becoming increasingly assertive within the SADC region in science and technology, and this is extremely welcome. And the second point, so we have budgeted for just under 10 million rand during the three-year period 2009-10 to 2011-12. In addition to this, we're increasingly being able to leverage international development assistance from developed countries in the north, like Australia, Germany, the US, that are interested in supporting science and technology development in SADC, but are a little hesitant about providing funds to the SADC Executive Secretariat for reasons we don't need to go into. But they do see South Africa as a reliable partner in promoting regional science and technology development. So we're increasingly able to leverage funds from international partners in support of regional development of science and technology. So in summary, Honorable Chair and members, the ratification of the SADC Protocol is a very important step towards regional integration. And we welcome the support of the Select Committee in this respect. Considerable progress is being made in developing regional science and technology interventions, and I can say without fear of contradiction from anybody on the continent that SADC is the leading regional economic community in this sense. We have a much more developed science and technology plan in the region than does anybody else, and not just plan, activities. Significant activities, and I think it's something we can be very proud of, and I'm very proud to say that my colleague Annelien and various other members of the department have been instrumental in providing South Africa's leadership in this respect. There is a strong interest in key development partners like Australia, the US, Germany and France to support regional initiatives, and this of course is important to us if we can play an important role in leveraging that international support within the region. It promotes our standing regionally, and this is important to us as a country. And importantly, I didn't brief you on this, and perhaps that could be subject of a separate briefing if the committee chooses, bilateral cooperation within the SADC region is growing very significantly. We started off just 2.5 years ago with joint research cooperation activities, with Mozambique, for example, and we were flooded by, I think, some 60 or so research proposals. Some 60 research proposals, joint research proposals from South African and Mozambican researchers.
was completely unexpected. We were expecting maybe 15 research proposals, and we had funds to support only 8 or 10 or so. The response on both sides was overwhelming. This is just one example of the increasing bilateral cooperation activities. However, the SADC Science and Technology Desk is very weak and under-resourced. In fact, it consists of one South African official, DST official, whom we seconded to the Secretariat in Gaborone for 3 years, coming to an end in September this year. And that really is the only resource that the Secretariat has for science and technology promotion in the region. This year, for the first time, we understand the Secretariat has in fact provided that desk with a small budget to facilitate some regional workshop, but that's about it. So this is a significant constraint at the moment. And a second constraint is that the development partners are reluctant to support the STI desk. So we actually need to secure support, funds and in-kind support, technical assistance from development partners. But because of various administrative challenges within the Secretariat, they're currently reluctant to do that. So these are the two main constraints for an even greater development of multilateral science and technology activities within the region. Chair, I hope that that has given you and the honourable members some insight into science and technology activities in the region, and we'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have in this regard.
Thank you. Honourable members, it's your opportunity to interact with the presentation. Honourable Mube, Honourable Blackie, Honourable De Villiers, Honourable Hanto, in that order.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chair, maybe local than going SADC. They say you have to start sweeping at home, and I understand it's a protocol. And I'm moving from the supporting role that South Africa is doing to other countries. And I know that at high school level, South Africa is performing very bad on science and technology. And we are pushing very big projects as South Africa. So, what are the mechanisms that this department is putting in place to ensure that as we support these countries, and some of them were told when I was still in education that their budget in education is very little. Botswana, you name them, but they top us and perform better. So what are the strategies and mechanisms that are in place to ensure that we also build capacity in our country? We motivate students from grade 10, not in grade 12 or when they graduate, because that's when they choose whether they take the science stream or math stream or they go biology. So what are the strategies to ensure that we don't end up importing, because you don't have anything in this country? I know we have lots of Zim people because there was an oversupply. They sell in the streets. Some have absorbed, some we haven't. But how are we doing that as a country? So, the other one is on the, I see climate change here.
And whilst in the beginning it was like a joke, but I've seen it here in the protocol, to say what are the plans in place for us, because seemingly we are starting to be affected big time by the climate change. I've read, before I came to Parliament, I read an article that either by 2050 or so, the sea will come back here in Cape Town. And all over where you go, if you are not in the Table Mountain, it's just the sand, the sea sand. So are there any measures? I was in the Netherlands and I was impressed the way they have pushed the sea and established provinces, pushed the sea. What are the mechanisms? So we don't wake up, we know we'll be dead, some of us, but we need to plan for our future generations. Thank you.
Honorable Blackie?
Chair, I think I must also touch base with local issues in terms of science and technology. I was carefully listening to the presentations, but I just arrived to a question that I want to pose to the presenter. I know that region here means SADC, the South Africa and other countries form up a SADC as regions. But what is the link of this STI desk to school and higher institution of learning? And to what extent is that link to the school? In reference, I do not want to go further to see, in reference to the way our students and learners are so weak in science and technological no discipline. The other question, Chair, is that, is there any exchange program on science and technology between the SADC, schools and higher institution of learning? That is another question. And I maybe zoom to the last one on the acknowledgement by the presenter that the STI desk is extremely, it's weak and resourced, or under-resourced. But I want to check what is the reason? Who's actually funding this project? Is this project dependent on government, or is this project dependent on SADC country and international community as donors and supporters to advance it? That will be my last question, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Blackie, Honorable
Peter. Chairperson, I hope that I will make one question very clear, because I'm struggling with the Afrikaans word and the English word of that, the proconate funding.
Involvement.
Hey, let me call it. I also want to start at where we are now. First, at home, we have numerous problems about literacy and numeracy, especially from the foundation phase. I just want to ask you, as science and technology, there is the word coming, more involvement in trying to solve that problem in basic education. Are you actually, do you have any responsibility also working together with the different parties to solve that problem in education? And then the other thing, Honorable Chairperson, the responsibilities and activities and also the commitment of the Department of Science and Technology, especially due in connection with a lot of babies and young children dying out in the northern side of Africa.
do you have any responsibilities and activities there trying to really help or assist those governments in the drought-stricken areas? What are your responsibilities, especially internationally? I'm thinking about Japan and also Australia and New Zealand, I think, and so on, other part. Then, do you have any time line of completion of the protocol? Any timeline, time frame? And then, are there any immediate threats or challenges to the STI protocol besides the funding challenges and the other which you already mentioned, immediate ones which you can solve? And then the last one, you make mention about the northern countries have a problem of funding, you have to fund the situation here, setting around the ACI, due to problems which they have with the secretariat. Now, are there any plans in place to try to address those problems so that we can get in SEDEC help from the northern, the more richer countries to keep funding for it? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Tibetas.
Chairperson, I just want to add on what my colleagues have asked in relation with the STI being opening here was your comment, Honorable was talking about the high schools and the tertiary level, the children that are being trained or being educated on science and technology. My addition on this, it's not concentrating on the high schools only. In this new curriculum that we have in the basic, in the lower grades, from grade R upwards, how is this relating to this curriculum? So that we develop and we grow a scientist from an early age. Because some of the children, you can see them from an early age where their direction are going to. What is your help there? And also, the presenter talked about, it's a pity, Mr. Presenter, the surname, I'll stick to Mr. Thomas. We do develop policies here in South Africa, and they become so good. As a result, some of the other countries, they take our policies. But what we lack of here in South Africa is the implementation of these policies that we have. You mentioned policies that are developed here in South Africa that are so good. Are they implementable in South Africa? Because we sometimes do good policies that are not implementable in South Africa. In South Africa is not as other countries. We are too much diverse in South Africa. If we don't even speak one language, we speak 12 with the Tsotsitaal that is forgotten, you know. We've got the Tsotsitaal also. Okay. In developing women, there's this women in science in the region as a whole. Does this information of developing these women get to the ground level? So that because what I'm thinking, the women are the most working force in any country. Sorry for that. It's Women's Month. And also, if they can't get this information, We would be seated with situations like the one that we see now in these countries that are under what is this?
Drought
and whatever, you see, which I think if we had women who are being developed scientifically, we wouldn't maybe reach that stage. We can't do anything when there is drought. We can't say we are going to do a scientific thing and the rain comes, you see. But there is something that they would have helped in doing, the indigenous knowledge. When you talked about indigenous knowledge, I was thinking of my grandmother. When it's tiring a lot, she will take this broom that is made up of sticks of grass, ne? And she will put it in front of the door. Just in front of the door. It will face up outside. And the thunder will just go much slower than it was. So I was thinking of those knowledges. Does this also involve the rural people? Because science, you get science in the rural people. It's just that they are not known. Their science is not known, or it's only known in that region where they stay. Does it involve the rural people? Yeah, I think that's the only question. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable.
No, thanks. Let me add then on the indigenous knowledge. Moving from the lightning conductor, I've had the MSC, I think for local government in KZN, who has put a task team. We've not heard about the outcome. You go to Mpumalanga, other people play with science. They play with thunder and
lightning.
They make rain.
Mm.
Yeah. What is your strategy in redirecting that playing to positive playing? Because they know something. So then utilizing this indigenous knowledge, and they're able to do something. So what is your plan in terms of listening to them? How do you do this thing? How can you redirect it to be positive and contribute towards the growth of our country? The next one is, you see on TV that the few that appear on TV because they get exposed, but you have many of such people whom out of they've never seen an aeroplane, but they will do it, they will have an engine, though it will fly, or they will make a car. Do we go back to them and say, have an interest, pick up this person and put that person in whatever school, university, and whatever, and teach others? There are many those innovations. So the question of education, I'm seeing here your plans in terms of educating and tapping on the community. So what are your strategies in trying to identify, expose, and utilize those people? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mube. Before, let me just pose two questions. Mr. Thomas, I'm not even going to try to pronounce
the
same name.
No problem.
You, under challenges, you talked about the resources. I think you spoke to the issue of funding as one challenge, the issue of one official that has been seconded to the secretariat. One will just want to check, are there no other challenges? And is there other challenges? What are those challenges, and how are you going to address that? And the other thing one would like to check, what are the benefits out of this SADC protocol for South Africa?
the on your slide, the last page, the last sentence, the development partners elected to support the STI desk. What is that that you are doing? You know, what programs do you have to encourage them to be part or to have that willingness of assisting in this STI desk?
Shall I start, Chair?
Thank you, Chair and honourable members. I hope that this is not going to...
No, this one. Sorry. Okay. By my count, there's 19 questions here, honourable members. With not too much duplication between them.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, honourable Chair and members, I need to make the point, in fact, are focused more on the role and function of the Department of Science and Technology locally than within the static. Nonetheless, these are very welcome because they signal a great desire on behalf of the committee to understand better the role of the Department of Science and Technology. And it's a very welcome message that we're getting from you, considering the opening comments that my colleague and friend Molapo made earlier on about our desire to be able to provide you with more information. I will try and do justice, and I will ask my colleague and my colleagues to assist every now and then. We will try to do justice in as brief a time as possible to this long list of questions. Would really welcome another opportunity at your convenience to come and brief the committee on the activities of the department in some more detail, when one could look more at the local South African activities of this rather than the regional context. But if I may then just start out with the honourable Tobias question. And several of the questions were around our role with regard to education more broadly, reaching from the. Is this necessary for recording, or is it just for you? Is it necessary for recording?
Why can't you try the same?
The third one.
Microphones don't like it.
Electric personality.
So you are electrified.
Thank you.
So
I'm trying to. I don't know what it is.
Oh, I don't know.
It's like.
That is a problem.
See if it's that. No, I don't think so. Anyway. I'll try my best again. Many of the questions had to do around the role of the department with regard to education more broadly and the interface between our department and that of basic education and higher education around educational issues. If I might pull together the questions around human capital development into that, and I will ask my friend to assist me on this if there's things he would like to add, I'd invite him to. But our program does have a very strong human capital development program and a range of activities that he in fact is charged. He's the DDG for human capital and knowledge systems. So it's a main branch or focus of our department is human capital development intervention. We do a range of different things and have a range of different initiatives in this regard. For example, we provide bursaries to honours, masters and doctoral students through the National Research Foundation. We fund a program, I think he referred to it earlier on perhaps, to the South African Research Chairs program. It's a program whereby we fund the establishment of research professorships in the universities, and the requirements of these research professorships specifically include human capital development. So they are required to enroll students and to train postgraduate students, and they are set targets according to this.
We also have a Youth into Science program, which involves really two broad aspects. One is the promotion of science and technology awareness generally, for example, by supporting science centers, or by supporting what is just this last Saturday being launched in KwaZulu-Natal is the National Science Week. This is an annual event where for 1 week there's a focus on science and technology in all provinces in the country, and we have gone, we have launched this National Science Week in each of the provinces. So we've gone through all of the provinces and have just completed the cycle of launching. Each year, a different province gets the opportunity to launch the National Science Week. We have also adopted 18 Dinaledi schools, where we are trying to promote and strengthen the teaching of science and mathematics in those schools. So there are a range of activities that we're engaged in. Bearing in mind, however, of course, Honourable Chair and members, that we are not the Department of Basic Education and we are not the Department of Higher Education. So we're doing what we can with in partnership in many instances with the other departments, while maintaining to a clear distinction in our mandates. With regard to climate change questions, there were really two sets of climate, or two of the honourable members. I think it was Honourable Dube and Honourable de Villiers or Anto, who were asking about climate change. I'm sorry. First of all, again, on this. Science and technology is an important ingredient into how we, it's an important input into how we deal with climate change implications for South Africa. But it's not the only ones. For example, a key challenge in dealing with climate change, there are two key challenges. The one is to, what the experts call, mitigate against climate change. That is to try and prevent climate change from happening. And this involves reducing the emission of gases that contribute to climate change. The main gas is carbon dioxide, which is what we breathe out, but there are other gases that play a role here as well. So reducing South Africa's production of these gases, as other countries around the world need to do, is part of what we're doing around climate change. And science and technology is a very important input into that, because through science and technology, we can research different methods of producing energy while reducing the amount of greenhouse gas emissions or gases that contribute to climate change. So that's on the side of mitigation. We're involved in a number of projects that are looking at renewable energy activities and reducing the amount of gases that are associated with energy production from coal, for example. So that's on the mitigation side. The second major challenge is adaptation, because climate change is going to happen. Even if we manage to stop the rate at which climate change is happening, or to reduce it, we can't stop it completely. The climate is changing. And so the second challenge is, how do we adapt to climate change? And adaptation to climate change involves, for example, being able to predict as accurately as possible what will be the consequences of climate change. Where are we going to see more drought? Where are we going to see more rain? Because climate change is not only about more rain, it can be more drought. Where are we going to see more storms, more stronger storms, more virulent storms? Where are we going to see more thunder and lightning, which Honourable Kuba was referring to, because this is, or was it you, I'm sorry, lightning, as you all know, it's a big problem for South Africa. It's completely underplayed, but it's a big problem for South Africa. So being able to predict these things
science and technology is a very important input into that, because through science and technology, through improved science and technology, we can sharpen our predictions. If any of you follow the weather reports nowadays on television, or you go to Weather SA on the internet, for example, it is phenomenal how exact the weather predictions nowadays are for 2 or 3, 4 days in advance. The predictions are very, very spot on. And the technology and the science of this has developed significantly in the last 10 years. So we're developing this even further to be able to predict more in advance, not just days or a week or two in advance, but we have to be able to predict months and years in advance. And the challenge we face with that is the same as the challenge we faced in predicting a few days in advance, maybe 20 years ago. Mm. All right, and science and technology is very important. And to assist this, we have developed something called a climate risk and vulnerability atlas. This is a computer-based atlas, like a book, but it's based on a computer, which maps out our best predictions on the risks we face through drought, through floods, through storms, through water level rising at the ocean. And it tries to predict these areas geographically, even down to the local geographic areas. The intention of this atlas is to make it a tool that even metropoles can use to plan how they will adapt to climate change. For example, if you know anything about Johannesburg, I think you're from Gauteng, you will know how bad it's in Alex when there are floods. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, being able to predict where the floods are going to go now, nowadays, the best prediction is to look where shanties are not being built. but we need to be able to do this more scientifically and better. So these are, we're supporting the development of this climate change risk and vulnerability atlas, for example. We've established a center for earth and climate change studies at the CSIR, the Council for Scientific Industrial Research, which is strongly involved in trying to anticipate how should we adapt to climate change issues. Let me see the other sort of cluster of questions. Let me perhaps just deal with some of the protocol and SADC science and technology desk issues that the honourable members and the chair raised. On the question of time frame of completion of the protocol, at this stage we see the protocol as being really an open-ended framework encouraging cooperation within the region's member states on science and technology. The strategy that we've developed, which I made a reference to early on, is a 5-year strategy, a 10-year strategy. So it has a 10-year time horizon. There are specific projects and initiatives that are set out in that STI strategy, together with timelines saying in 2 or 3 years' time, we want to complete this one, in 4 or 5 years' time, we want to complete this one. So it's a fairly detailed roadmap, as detailed as you can make these things at an intergovernmental level. So the protocol we see is open-ended, but the strategy has timelines attached to it, in particular the initiatives. The problems at the SADC Secretariat, well, you know, as most things in life, it's usually not just one issue that poses a problem. It's a combination of different things that comes together around this. Part of it is that the SADC Secretariat is struggling to fill vacancies that it has. In part, it is struggling to fill those vacancies because there aren't enough South Africans applying for some of those posts. We have a situation where South Africans to go and work in regional or continental organizations that take a cut in salary because those organizations pay less than the South African public service does and certainly less than South African private sector does. And so to encourage South Africans to go and seek employment and take up positions, which we could, because some of those positions are earmarked for specific countries, we need a policy which our colleagues in the Department of International Relations and Cooperation are in the process of developing. We need a policy that will incentivize South Secondments to accept secondments, as it were, to these organs in the region or at the continent to go and work there for a few years without a risk to their salary or to their permanent appointments back home. So that's just part of the problem. Another part of the problem, I think it would be fair to say that it does have to do with how does the management of the secretariat prioritize the different sectors that the secretariat has to look after. Because it has to look after a wide range. Transport, defense and security, military cooperation issues, trade, politics, agriculture, health, education. So all of these sectors theoretically have to be supported by the SADC secretariat. And like any manager, you sometimes have to make difficult choices. You have a certain amount of human resources, a certain amount of financial resources, and you've got a portfolio that requires far more than human and financial resources you've got, and you have to make choices about where you put your resources. So I imagine that that's part of the problem also that is faced there. Part of it, just like any institution, government or private, there is slackness in the institution, there's poor performance, there's people who don't care about, you know, doing their job properly. So it's a combination of things. It's not just a single factor. It's a combination of things. Now, on behalf of South Africa, it's our colleagues in the Department of International Relations and Cooperation who have got really the responsibility and the mandate to engage with the Secretariat to negotiate changes to some of these things, to ask the Secretariat to redirect its priorities and look after science and technology more, or to say, you know, colleagues, in this area here, the performance is really very bad. Can you please manage this problem better? We as a department cannot really intervene in the way the Secretariat is managed. But we do have very cordial relations with the Director for Science and Technology, and we recently spent a couple of hours discussing with him how to move forward on this. And we think that the situation is likely to improve around the science and technology desk in the not too distant future. So this combination of problems is probably what prevents or reduces the willingness of funders from the north to provide funding to SADC. They have got through their parliaments very stringent requirements with regard to the administration and auditing of public funds that are provided by parliaments in Scandinavia, in Germany, in Australia for development assistance to SADC. And I think that there are questions that many of these development partners have about the governance of funds that are donated or would be donated to SADC. At the moment, South Africa's finance system, as you know, is highly regarded by countries in the north. By global standards, we have a very highly developed system of governance around public finance in South Africa. This is something we can be very proud of, and this is what makes us attractive as a development partner for regional activities, because the development partners know that funds used through with South Africa for regional initiatives are always properly accounted for. So I'm trying to think. I think on the cluster of questions that are on the SADC, the management within SADC of science and technology, I think I've probably covered the key concerns that the honourable members raised. I think on climate change, I've probably done that as well. The benefits for South Africa. As I indicated, I think that there are really two kinds of benefits that one needs to look for in these sorts of interventions. Those which are tangible, which are measurable and very direct, and those which are a little bit less tangible, more political and strategic. And sometimes one comes before the other. So in the first instance, let me look at the strategic and political ones. As I've indicated, South Africa, by virtue of its state of development, is the leading scientific force in the region. There can be no doubt about it. And we are this economically as well. And although we want to partner with SADC member states and we want to facilitate and assist their development, as I've tried to indicate, it's not only because we have a historical and ethical responsibility to do so. It's because we understand that our economic development is dependent on their economic development. Together we will grow better than if we grow independently of them. SADC plus the Eastern African region, COMESA, I think they're called, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Together is a market that is as big or bigger than the EU. So if we could sort out customs issues, for example, and trade barriers just within SADC and the Eastern African regions, we would have a market for economic growth which is bigger than the EU is. Of course, these are long-term things. These are not things that happen over 12 or 18 months. These are long-term developments, but significant opportunities. So the point is, regional integration has very direct and important strategic and longer-term economic implications and opportunities for South Africa. And regional integration is dependent not only on our Navy working together with the Angolan and the Mozambican Navy to stop pirates. Regional integration is also about our economies growing and integrating, growing at the same rate and integrating with each other. And science and technology is a very important component in that. So these are some of the longer-term political and economic benefits that can flow to South Africa. Let me give you some from developing the science and technology competence of our partner countries, because that's an important input into their economic development, into improving their health environment, for example, into improving their manufacturing base, into improving their capacity to extract minerals and to process those minerals. So these are some of the longer-term advantages. And more intangible ones, at least in the short term. There are also important scientific and technological opportunities for South Africa within the region. For example, there are countries in the region like the DRC that are enormously richly endowed with mineral resources. The DRC, as some of the honorable members may know, under Belgian colonialism, developed very advanced minerals beneficiation, mineral development laboratories and institutions. In fact, they were so advanced that Belgian mining engineers were sent to the DRC for training. But of course, those facilities have been significantly reduced in their capacity and in their international competitiveness over the last 20, 30 years. It is in our interests to assist in the development of that capacity in that country again, because we have significant mining interests in the DRC. And if the mining interests if the mining companies in the DRC could grow beyond the point of just exporting raw minerals, there'd be significant value added in the DRC and therefore also to South African mining interests that are invested there. So here is a direct correlation between science and technology cooperation in the region and the benefits that can accrue to South Africa's economic interests. Let me just see. Chair, I wouldn't mind any guidance from members if they feel there's a cluster of queries that have been raised that I have not addressed. Let me perhaps ask my colleague Annelien Morgan to talk a little bit more about the Women in Science initiative, because there were strong interests expressed in this regard, and Annelien has been very closely. So I want to make clear that I'm asking Annelien not because she's a woman, but because she's been very closely involved with this initiative. So please, Annelien, if you wouldn't mind.
Thank you, Chair, and all members. Just give a brief background on the static women in science. It's a new initiative that was started in 2009, but actually took off last year when we convened a regional workshop in Durban in 2010 for all SADC countries. So we had a range of women who gathered there, coming from academia, industry, and even government. The main aim of this initiative is to create a regional association of women in science, to promote women in science in the region. So it will be an institutional association that will provide this function in supporting capacity development of women in science and technology, supporting women in the area of science and technology, but also promoting women to take up sciences as an area of focus. So it's really, we are now at a stage where we are developing the statutes of the association, the legal documents. We've so far had about two working group meetings. The way we run the static initiatives, there are countries who are nominated to form working groups. So for the Women in Science initiative, the countries that are involved in the working group is Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Namibia, and South Africa, and DRC. That's the members of the working group. There's a planned meeting for in August this month in Zimbabwe, in Harare, which will be the fourth meeting of the working group in finalizing the statutes to establish the formal structures of the association. So it's still a work in progress, and we are hoping that by next year, if everything goes well, the association will be officially launched in the region by the ministers of SADC.
If I would just add, Chair, quickly, that in fact, next Friday evening, I think it is, we will be hosting the 19th of August, Friday, 3 weeks' time. The minister will be hosting an award ceremony for the Women in Science Award, where South Africa's leading scientists, and women scientists and thinkers will be awarded various prizes. I think it's mainly South African. I don't think it's a regional. It's the South African competition. There is also a global one, a continental one, I think, the L'Oréal competition. Isn't that a global? There are two competitions that we're involved in as well. And in fact, I think South African women won it the last time, if I remember correctly. Chair, there was one outstanding cluster of questions relating to IKS and the department's involvement in indigenous knowledge systems. I'm going to ask my colleague, Dr. Kobela, to address this, please.
Members, it's a long day for you, so I'll be brief. And I hope you will not rule me out of order, and my colleagues won't rule me out of order. But I think it would be useful maybe for us to be summoned to come back. We do often come to the committee in partnership with other departments, because government is supposed to be a single government. Now, just to by way of illustration, we work very closely with basic education. The two deputy ministers are bilateral every quarter. And we have joint programs that oversee the work of the two departments. And we have historically made inputs to the National Assembly, the Portfolio Committee, as a joint collective between science and technology and basic education. In higher education, we do the same. By way of example, again, you would be aware that all ministers have performance agreements with the president. As an example, Minister Nzimande's performance agreement and Minister Pandor's are enjoined in one form or another. And again, it would be useful for us to come possibly as two departments to you to talk to the issues that I think are dear to you and many others outside of this room. Just to echo my colleague, to give you a context, our university system has probably over just under 900,000 students. Over 80,000 of those are from the continent, our continent. 95% of them are from SADC.
So you could make another full university plus 80 odd thousand of a full university of just SADC students. That's our contribution to the development of our continent. 30% of every single doctoral graduate that we produce as a country are fellow Africans from the rest of the continent. That's our contribution to the development of the continent. And so it goes beyond many of the things that I think Thomas has highlighted. Through the other protocol, and I think honorable members would be aware of it coming from education, the protocol on education, through that has been a creation called SARUA, the Southern African Regional Universities Association, where South African universities work with fellow universities on the region. Again, these are expressions of what Thomas is has been talking to. The issue of indigenous knowledge, Chairperson, is again an important matter that is in the mind and in the work of the Department of Science and Technology. We have something called the National Indigenous Knowledge Office in the department, which is the chief directorate with a cluster of many things that we do. But at the heart of our work, we do believe that if we are to get social and other benefits out of indigenous knowledge, you must be able to do one thing first. You need to protect what you have. Don't protect it, forget it. And protection comes in different forms, Chair. And the first is simply knowing what is there. And you have to work with people, irrespective of where they are, rural or urban. You need to be able to give them confidence that by sharing information and collecting that information will be protected and will be of benefit not to just individuals or to companies, but also to the community. That's partly why there has been a significant discussion between ourselves and the Department of Trade and Industry around the recent amendments to the intellectual property that is in the House. And I suspect that that bill at some point will also come to this committee. The need also to use science to authenticate the work that has survived through the many ages. We support and fund a significant number of researchers, esteemed people, the University of KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape, BITS, where you will find them everywhere in all corners, who will be able to say, yes, it is true, Shwenya actually does do that, that is said it does, or this actually does do. And part of our challenge, I think, as a society, is to also begin to take out the stigma. Because it is fine for me to say, I'm actually taking Chinese herbal medicine. Many of us probably have had at some point. But if you read the label, actually you don't know what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
it's
good. But if it is African indigenous herbal, it has other connotations. So I think it's both a scientific challenge,
mm-hmm.
but it's also a societal one.
Yeah.
And where we need the support of the members, we need support of our leaders in society and in other spheres to be able to help us go forward. We recently had a workshop where some of the members of the Portfolio Committee of Science and Technology attended. If I had known there is such interest, Chair, who would have invited you, where we were looking at indigenous medicine, African indigenous medicine, and the way in which we can begin to change perceptions and the value and inherent benefits that I think we can accrue it, both as a society and economically, to take this further. But I do believe, Chair, hopefully I'm not out of order by saying there is a lot that I do believe, based on this brief discussion, can be of significant benefit by way of us sharing, but also for us to be able to understand and appreciate what are the things that you believe we ought to be focusing on as well. And my closing remark, Chair, is that perceptions we need to also deal with. In education, Chair, people often say, what is the role of the Department of Science and Technology?
Yeah.
If you look carefully at who does the research for most of the Department of Basic Education, it's the Human Science Research Council. HSRC. That's one of the institutions of the Department of Science and Technology. That's what science and technology contributes. If you often hear, there was a big issue about potholes. Potholes and water. Who did we talk? CSIR, yeah? It's one of the institutions of the Department of Science and Technology. So there are many things that I suspect often get hidden, in part because maybe we just get things done without necessarily saying we attribute them to the work of Minister Kando and her deputy. So I think it would be valuable for us to come to share and also to take guidance from the committee in terms of the work that we do. Thank you.
Are there still questions?
No, not from
you. Not from you. I know. Chairperson.
You say honorable me?
Yeah. Oh. Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to ask Mr. Thomas. He spoke about 18 Dinaledi schools. You know, Mr. Thomas, we represent provinces in the NCOP. We also like to concentrate on what is happening in our provinces, not in the general South Africa, but specifically in our provinces. That is why I am having a concern on the 18 Dinaledi school. Where are they situated? In which provinces are they coming from? You might not have that information now. You can send it at a later stage. And also, the issue of the National Science Week that you spoke about, the launch of the Science Week around the country. You said it was in KZN, the last one. I just wanted to know, I've seen you on TV in one program in the Eastern Cape at Alice.
Yes.
In the schools at Alice, yeah, during the time Kamiste Kwase. But I'm not sure, did you involve all the schools in the Eastern Cape, some of the schools in all the regions in the Eastern Cape, or in all the districts, the 9 districts in the Eastern Cape, or were you concentrating only on that region, yes, the Ngongobe and the surrounding area? When you launch the National Science Week, are you concentrating on that specific region, or are you taking all the regions in the province? Thanks, Chairperson. I also wanted to check with this department if does it know anything. I've said we concentrate on provinces. In my provinces, Sterkspruit, I live in the surrounding of Sterkspruit. There's a project that is going on there of stones. There are special stones that they are getting on that area that goes towards Lesotho, but it's in the eastern Cape side. The people are working there. There are people that are working there. There is money that is made out of those stones because those stones are being shifted to the other countries. But can't the science and technology department just do a research and see what is this special
about those zones, because it might be the people of the outside countries are getting more investment or are getting more money out of what we have in South Africa. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable. Before I give to Honorable Mube, Honorable members are going to please, because the presentation was about the SADC culture part. And maybe what I should bring to the attention of the department is that we are looking forward, as science and technology also is part of this cluster. And I know, because really the NCOP, like Honorable Ranto has indicated, we are more based or more interested on the provincial issues. So when we interact, it will be something that I have from an experience that I'm having from my province. And I know for now that some question will, you know, I don't know how to put it, but because we didn't come here prepared, but as we are supposed to, the department is supposed to be interacting with us, we are looking forward to engage further on the issues, the issue of education, what is happening on the ground there at the provincial level and all that. But let me just give Honorable Mube, I just wanted that we shouldn't lose focus that we were here for SADC protocol and we'll have an opportunity to interact on other matters.
Thanks, Jefferson. I think this commitment mustn't go unnoticed in mid-2014. Let me just emphasize the question of we are equally important as the portfolio committee. And then the last one is on the Dinaledi schools. I know from the education side that they have pronounced that I think we are going to cut the marriage or divorce 2 years or 3 years to come. If it is true, we'll appeal that instead of 18 and divorcing, you need to multiply. There's a very great cry of science and capacitating and empowering teachers. Thank you.
It's Molapo's portfolio.
Well, portfolio or not, I have been directed by my colleagues to take these matters. Thank you, Chair, and all the members. I think what we can do for now is around the issue of the stones. I'm not sure which ones there are, because there's limestone, which is usually, you know, the white block ones, and sometimes it's, it could be the granite. So we'll need, with your permission, I think, as the Chair is indicating, we can come back with some of that detail. But as far as the Dinaledi schools, we can provide the Secretariat with the full list of the 18 that have been adopted, 2 in each province. And so we can actually give you the names, the schools, where, you know, because once you have the name and location and everything, then you know. We can give you a sense of what we are doing with each school, because if you adopt, it means that you take full ownership of what actually happens. Yeah. There is a challenge in that I think Minister Motshekga and colleagues would like to increase support and fully support that. It's often a challenge of what is the best way of assisting our colleagues in basic education, whether it will be by increasing adoption or through other means, or we can bring in new ideas of dealing with the same problems. I think that's where research maybe can add value. National Science Week, through you, Chair, we always have one national launch. So 2011 was KwaZulu-Natal. 2010 was the Eastern Cape. That's why we were in Alice, the University of Fort Hare. And 2009, we were in the Northern Cape. And so I can go backwards. But a national launch does not mean that it ends on that one event and one day. We also have a whole range of partners that do a range of activities throughout the country, in each province. So if for instance, honorable members would like, we can always try and get you a sense of what is happening in the Eastern Cape, what is happening in Gauteng, what is happening in Eastern Free State, and so forth. Maybe we can do that just to give you an illustration of the fact that a national launch doesn't end, but it actually is the beginning of a range of activities that happen throughout the country with different players giving proper justice on the ground to our children. And so we can provide that detail through the Office of the Chair.
Okay.
Mm.
Thank you, Dr.
Kobela.
Just say Dr. Q.
Dr. Q, let me first appreciate and thank the department for this briefing. We are looking forward for more interaction with the department. Honorable members, as I'm going to read now the report. The Select Committee on Education and Recreation reports that it has concluded its deliberations on the SADC protocol table in terms of Section 231 of the Constitution Act 1996 and recommends that the National Council of Provinces approve the said protocol. I'll attach my signature. Thank you, and the department is
sufficient.
Honorable members, we are still having minutes. That set of minutes that we still have to deal with them. Honorable members, let me just take this opportunity of reading this letter that the DDG promised around the question that was raised around Professor Tobeka. Yes, Professor Errol Tobeka, your email dated June 23rd, 2010 says, I hereby wish to confirm that Professor Tobeka left the services of Tshwane University of Technology as a consequence of the end of his 5-year fixed-term contract. Yours sincerely, D.K. The font, actually, the color that they used there. Honorable members, can we move to the set of the 25th May?
Yeah.
Honorable Divina?
Chairperson, I just want to go quickly through it. On the first page, the last column, the provinces, all of those provinces, they are actually wrong. Ranto, Northwest, Province, Shawdy, East Cape, Eastern Cape, and so on. So it's the first one, Ranto, Mashawdy, Mashamaiti, Boroto, Farber, and MJ de Villiers, both Northern Cape, on the right hand side, the first column.
I wonder what was written in here.
Yeah, and then political parties, the last two, Zulu Africa National Congress and Makati, Free Inkatha Freedom Party, and KwaZulu Natal and Northwest Province. That is thanks to Honorable Plighty. I only saw the one of Faber and myself, and he showed me the others. And then page one, Honorable Chairperson, I think the second sentence, I think we must address the Chairperson there. The Chairperson briefly outlined the purpose of the meeting.
Mm.
And then on the first page, the Chairperson is Honorable M.G. Barotto. But the Chairperson of this committee is actually you. So somewhere, we as a committee must have some proposal for Honorable Barotto to chair this meeting. Is my understanding correct?
The Chairperson was not part of this meeting.
Yep.
And then Honorable Barotto was the acting Chairperson for the day.
So we don't propose there. It was not necessary.
We elected. We just had acted.
Yeah, so that information is for senior.
Oh.
Are you with me?
No, I understand what you're saying.
Yes. And then the third paragraph, the second last sentence on the third paragraph, he further indicated that the focus would be on. It's beyond.
Where are you?
Page two, the third paragraph. The last word in the second last, be on. You have it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Quickly, Chairperson, the third, the fourth, and then the fifth. The second paragraph. The last sentence in that paragraph, it was further noted that the unit responsible for transfers uses samples to monitor projects as it is almost impossible to monitor. And then the second paragraph thereafter, the second sentence also, grant to municipalities and whether there are programs in place to ensure that their proper sport facilities are in place. Their, C-H-E-I-R.
Where's
the Chairperson?
Here, am I?
Okay.
Are you still on page 2?
Page 5.
Oh.
The third paragraph, the second sentence.
Yes.
At the end of the second sentence, ensure that their proper sport mustn't be their, T-H-E-I-R. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that must be the correct one. And then the third paragraph from the bottom, second sentence, the committee also wanted to know an estimate number that we have benefited from the MPP. What number? Wasn't it the number of participants?
The number of what?
Number of participants. Wasn't it that? Chairperson through the secretary.
I'll check, Mr. Chairperson.
Yes, okay. Don't want to sit there. And then the second last paragraph. The second line, at the same time there is room for improvement. A must be out there, and then the last sentence there. One of the challenges with regard to MPP is proper monitoring and as it currently relies on.
Just
on page 5. The second last paragraph, the last line. The department reported that one of the challenges with regard to MPP is proper monitoring and as it currently relies on.
Okay.
Just that wording there. Doesn't make sense there. And then the last one, the first sentence. second man, department's office, rental space. The committee noted with concern the amount of 16.5 million that has been allocated for the department's office rental space. Is that correct? I can be wrong, but that's
office?
My office rental
office space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. And then page 6, second paragraph, the committee wanted to know.
Sorry, Honorable
yes.
De Villiers.
Yes.
Can you repeat for me the third paragraph there? That you said the committee sought clarity with regard to the allocation of municipal infrastructure grant to municipalities and whether there are programs in place to ensure that there are proper sport facilities.
Maybe,
or there is proper sport facilities. Oh, it's in
Maybe there are proper sport facilities
in place and leave there are.
Yeah. That's it,
Okay. Go to page 6.
Yeah. Page 6. Page 5. That's the third paragraph. That there are proper sports facilities in place. Let's see, let's ask. Page 6. The second paragraph, the committee wanted to know the reasons for the department's irregular, unauthorized and wasteful expenditure and whether there are mechanisms in place to prevent from happening in future. To prevent what happened. I can't understand that. But there's a problem. To prevent
it to happen in future.
Yeah, it.
To happen in future. Prevent it.
Prevent
it from happening
in future.
Yeah.
And then the last paragraph, the chief director responsible for sports support lies in, comma, events and facilities is one of the department's officials appointed to assist the ESP. Okay? That's all, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you.
I, as a chairperson, propose that we adopt the minutes with the amendments made.
Yes.
Honorable Mumbe.
Yeah, Chairperson, I will propose that there may be any corrections, that the corrections be made and come back here so that you see. There are many, 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 many corrections.
Okay. You adopt them with those many corrections, or you second, you don't, you say you must not adopt.
I'm not seconding you.
I did not propose.
You did propose. I will propose that the minutes go back and be rewritten with all these amendments. Otherwise, there are too many for us to say with amendments.
Any second to that? Honorable Short, second that this the 25th minutes to go. Back. Let's go to the first June minutes.
Yeah.
Honorable De Villiers.
Yeah. Again, there the first page.
Yes.
Zulu African National Congress, Northwest Province. Mashodi, Eastern Cape Province. Yeah. That's all which I got.
Okay.
There aren't others.
No, I'm not there.
Oh, it's not you, my dear. You're not here.
You guys have questions.
Yeah, but I don't have that. From Honorable Plyke, he must be here from the first one. Or the second.
I'm a member of the
board. But you can.
You're absent. It's Honorable Plyke.
Switch off your mic, honorable mic.
Chair, acting chair. It doesn't matter whether I was present or absent, but I'm a member of this committee. I must appear in either.
It should be like that in all members, not only with you, honorable Plagi. I think that's what should happen in all these minutes. If a person has apologized or did not apologize, that must be written down that that person is absent with apology or not apologized. Thanks.
Let's go to the minutes of the 1st of June. We have the first corrections on the first page. Let's go to page 2.
Can I continue?
Yes.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Then page 2, the second last line.
Mm.
The minister further noted, I think it must be the deputy minister further noted, because the deputy minister was in the meeting, not the minister.
Mm-hmm. Alright.
And then page 3,
yes.
Bullet 2, second line.
Yes.
Just for my clarification, the total expansion of the system to include more citizens at universities. I think there was something like that, but I'm not sure. But due to the situation which we handled, mustn't it be the students at universities?
Mm.
But I think that the secretary can just make sure about it.
It has to be students
yeah.
at the university.
And then page 4 is okay.
On 3, please, on 3.
Please, okay.
Yeah, on 3. The last bullet. The plans were in place to establish new universities. I think we need to be specific so that we don't have an illusion that there will be no more universities except Mpumalanga and Northern Cape.
I think that Honorable Chairperson, you yes. can do there. The plans were in place to establish 2 new universities.
2 new universities in each province?
Two provinces.
Oh, in 2 provinces.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
Alright.
Can we carry on?
Yes. Page 4 is okay. I don't have anything there. Maybe other members, but that's okay. Page 5.
Mm.
Page 5, 1, 2, 3, the 4th. Officials from the 2nd. The 3rd sentence, and actually the 2nd line, 4th paragraph. Officials from the department would assist in conducting feasibility study. That is visibility.
Page 5.
Is correct visibility study or must it be feasibility?
Feasibility.
So the spelling there. And then the 2nd one thereafter, 2nd paragraph, it was reported that the department was in the process of identifying subjects that have problems and provide training in those specific areas. It's not the subjects who actually have problems, but it is students who have problems with certain subjects.
Repeat yourself, Honorable
Billiard. Was in the process of identifying subjects that have problems.
Or students that have problems in the subject.
Identifying problems students have with certain subjects.
Mm.
Something like that.
Mm.
Maybe you can structure the sentence better than me. Can you pause there or must you go on?
Go on. Go on.
And page 6, the first paragraph, colleges where mathematics was a problem. Actually, it's not the mathematics where students have problems with mathematics.
Right.
Again, they. And then 5th paragraph, last sentence, the department was strengthening sector skills plan. And this would be done where CETAS offered it. The department was strengthening sector skills plan.
The department was.
The linkage, however, does not include the private sector. That must be in there, in this regard, and then the last sentence there, the department was strengthening sector skills plan. I'm a bit confused about sector skills plan.
The department was strengthening sector skills plan, and this would be done where sectors operate.
Can you go?
The literature ever does not include private sector.
The department was strengthening sector skills plan.
I was going to say let secretary go and check in that listening thing when we are talking and check what was happening in this sentence so that page six,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the 5th paragraph,
the last sentence. Yeah, the second last sentence, it might also read as it is. That it. Honorable de Villiers?
Yes.
Could you switch off your mic?
Switch off,
okay.
Yeah.
The linkage, however, does not include private sector in this regard. Does not necessarily mean we must say the linkage, however, does not include the private sector. I mean, it's also a incorrect English as it is, if I understand English correctly. But the last sentence in that paragraph, I think it needs more clarity. Yeah, I think the secretary should go and listen to that thing. Let's go to page 7.
Page 6. The third last line. This was aimed at increasing capacity specifically on African languages.
Yes.
Which one is that?
Africans language.
Yes.
African. Page 6.
Six.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then page 7.
Honorable Nube.
Yeah.
Switch off your mic.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
The committee wanted to know if there had been progress with regard to the implementation of national skills development strategy 3. Page 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 paragraph.
I will finish with 6. Page 6, can you go to page 7?
Page 7, I have nothing. Page 8, nothing.
Page 8, nothing. Members, what do you say about this set of minutes? do you adopt them with these amendments, or are the amendments too many so as to go back and rewrite the minutes? Or, yeah. Members, I'm waiting for you to respond. Honorable Blood.
I know that I was not in this meeting.
Then,
but I would want
then you can't
to participate. Why?
Because you are not in this meeting. You
I was in the meeting today.
You don't know what was going on that day. You don't know what happened on that day.
I propose for adoption with amendment.
Anyone in second? You should have seconds. Okay. Minutes of the 8th of June. Minutes of the 8th of June. I am the chairperson and I allow people to speak, but when I did not allow you to speak, you should not speak. We are in a meeting. Masambe, who is that mic on you? Page 1.
Okay.
Mushoji is not from Eastern Cape, Free State. That's what I've noticed.
With due respect, Chair, I know that I'm repeat this. There's the only 6 o'clock bus to La Coria, and it will be leaving in 30 minutes.
Can we
so
be fast?
I wanted to be in that bus.
Can we be fast then?
Yes.
Yeah. In quarter to six.
Quarter to six.
Quarter to six. We must be finished.
Yes, please.
Let's go. Page 1. I've noticed only the Honorable Mushoji.
Yeah.
Free State. Page 2.
Yes. Okay.
And who? Page 1.
Zulu. So I think he has crossed the floor. Mm-hmm. In all the minutes, he's ancient.
And Northwest.
And also. And Northwest.
I think I'm both with the Northwest.
Sure.
Okay, and Honorable Blight.
And who played the Akeko Kuma apologies?
Blight, yeah. Okay,
Chairperson. And also, Mushoji appear on the present and absent. Apologies, I'm not present and apologies. Here, I'm from Eastern Cape, on top, I'm from Free State, so I don't know what present or absent.
Page 1. Okay. Okay, let's go to page 2.
Page 2, nothing.
Page 3?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Chair, that bullet?
Yes.
The top part is the department has established partnerships to ensure participation across all nationally to celebrate South Africa. Across all
nationality.
There between all and nationally must be a word. All provinces nationally to celebrate South Africa's cultural diversity. I don't know, I'm not certain. And then the third. The 1, 2, 3, third bullet from the bottom. This is to provide a platform and opportunities for young creators across.
Creatives.
People who create some creative arts or creative people.
This is to provide platform and opportunities for young creatives across the various designs.
Is it correct?
It's in.
Young creators.
Young creatives across the various designs. Yeah, I think it should be the young
creative artists. I think that must be the word.
Yeah.
Artists.
Young
creative
artists. The whole sentence, let's read the whole sentence. This is to provide platform and opportunity for young creative
artists.
Designers.
Creative artists.
Yeah. Across the various design disciplines, sectors, and showcase, network, and participate in seminars and conferences.
I think it must be artists.
Creative artists. Page 4.
Yeah, page 4. Last sentence.
Yes.
The committee wanted to know if the department has any monitoring mechanisms. They monitoring what? There must be some word there. Of the people. Monitoring data or information of the people that received training through National Film and Video Foundation.
The committee wanted to know if the department has any monitoring system.
Of
the people that receive training and.
Page 5, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. The committee sought clarity on the plans to ensure that there is a strategy to commemorate a strategy. And then the second last paragraph, rate on senior management level within the department and further wanted to know how there is plans in place, if there is plans, there are plans in place to ensure that vacancies are filled. You with me?
Further,
the second last paragraph. Senior management level within the department and further wanted to know if there are plans in place to ensure that vacancies are filled.
Okay.
Page 5. If there are plans in place. Can you carry on?
Yes.
Then page 6.
Yes.
First paragraph, the committee wanted to know if there are programs in place.
Yes.
And then the second, the one thereafter, the department reported that conferences have been held in provinces like Mpumalanga and which others? Is it province like, held in province like Mpumalanga, or must it be held in provinces like Mpumalanga and what else?
Okay.
And then the 1, 2, 3, 4 from the bottom. Committee raised the concern with regard to circumstances.
Okay.
That's all.
Adoption of minutes or rewriting. What do we say?
You want to leave, Carl?
Adoption.
Say it officially.
Like he said that he was campaigning.
I wanted to adopt amendments, but I was not.
You was absent.
You were not. Oh, you were absent. You were always absent.
Is it absent?
You were campaigning, baby.
I was just.
Can somebody adopt the minutes or somebody
Okay. I move for adoption with amendments.
Okay.
anyone for seconding the adoption with amendments?
Honorable Shoti.
And the 15th of June? The 15th of June,
the last set of minutes, because these are reports, right?
Proposed for adoption? Proposed for adoption. Yes,
proposed
for June.
The 15th of June?
Yes.
We propose the adoption. Anyone seconding the adoption?
Oh, by much.
Okay, adoption of the minutes. Adopted. No amendments. Let's go to the reports. What is this? Report of the Select Committee on Education and Recreation, Budget Book 15.
20 April,
yes. Anything there on page 1?
No, nothing.
Page 2?
Nothing.
Page 3?
Nothing.
Page 4?
Nothing.
Page 5?
Nothing.
We adopt the report as it is. Any person who move?
Me, Chairperson.
Honorable de Villiers moves the adoption of the minutes. Seconda? Flaky, were you there?
I was there, yeah.
Oh, alright. And let's go to the draft program of the third term.
Two
more? Yeah. Yeah. I don't have garlic. Okay, give me the report. You don't have. Hello, the seven says garlic leaf here.
First of June.
Okay. The first of June, the report. Let's go to page 1.
Right.
Page 2.
Yes, okay.
Page 3.
Okay.
Page 4.
Okay.
Adoption of the report. Honorable Mushodi.
Thank you, Chairperson. I propose the adoption of the report.
Seconda?
Me.
Divilia second. A report on the 8th of June. Page 1.
Okay.
Page 2.
Okay.
Page 3.
Okay.
Page 4.
Okay.
Page 5.
Okay.
Anyone propose the adoption of the report?
Me.
Oh. Chairperson.
Yes, I propose.
I second. Okay, thanks. Then let's go to the draft third term program. Education and Recreation. 26 July 2020, that is last week. It was the visit that did not happen, ne? Because of snow. And then on Wednesday, the third briefing by the department.
Today,
yeah. And the bill. And the adoption of minutes. Wednesday, the 10th briefing by the Department of Higher Education and Training here in Parliament. The venue is not, it will be communicated. The 17th August. Wednesday, 17 August 2011, intervention to the Eastern Cape provisional. It's provisional. It hasn't. Oh, it's approved.
approved.
It's approved. Then there will be an intervention to the Eastern Cape on the 17th. That is Wednesday. The G17 is a weekday after the week after the next week. The Wednesday 24th briefing by Pan South African Parliament in Parliament, Pan South African Language of Board and Provincial Chairperson of PANSALAP on the development of indigenous languages, including Ku and Kwe, and the briefing by Leisure and Recreation Association of South Africa on youth advocacy and awareness programs aimed at improving service delivery. That is on the 24th. On the 31st of May, the briefing by Arts and Culture Programs to promote business, arts and financial as well as briefing by the Department of Sports and Recreation and Department of Basic Education with the development of sports. It's going to be a combined program or a combined session of this briefing by the Department of Sport and the Basic Education. Both those departments will be here on the same time, giving us this this presentation.
I'm left behind.
On the 31st of August. Then on Wednesday, the 7th of September, the briefing by embassies of arts and culture of Northwest Eastern Cape and Limpopo on progress made on the building of community libraries and development, preservation and promotion of arts, culture and heritage. That's what is going to happen on the 7th. 12th to the 16th is a provincial week. And it says yes, 12 September briefing by the Department of Education, but we will be out by then.
When is the provincial week?
The 12 to 16 September. Uh-huh. Then it says here 14 September.
I see.
12th of September, Nini, is it on Monday?
Yes.
Is it on Monday?
Mm-hmm. Okay. 14 is on Wednesday.
14 was on Wednesday, we will be not here by then.
Yes.
So it means this is out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the 17th to the 24th September, proposed international study tour to Finland. Helsinki. We will hear more about the proposed international study tour on that day. When are we going to hear about this proposed study, international study tour?
I can say something. Why not now?
Yes.
The application is in the office of the Honorable Dam. Everything has been done except that we are waiting for the two offices to approve.
What are we going to do there? Is this coming from the troops of last year?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Finland?
Let me just explain. I think we initially when we made our application, it's where there was indication that because we were supposed to go to, is it Cuba?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the indication was that most of the committees, the very same time when we applied to go to Cuba, I think the select committee of Honorable
Public Services
went to Cuba. Then we were requested to, that is why they didn't even approve our application, but to look for another country.
Are you still on?
Okay. Yeah. Chairperson. I'm not sure because I think maybe I didn't see you clearly when we were checking that whether we'd be getting a briefing from sports and education on the same time. You remember when we were supposed to be briefed by the two departments?
Yes.
And then because of that, the passing away of DG, then we didn't proceed with that. So we felt that it should be done. We should done. And the other thing that I would like to propose, Chairperson, is that we swap the birthday of the 10th and the one of the 24th.
10th of September.
August.
10th of August.
Oh. 10th of August.
The briefing of higher education to the 24th and take briefing by Leisure and Recreation Association of South Africa on the 10th.
On the 10th of August.
Okay. It's a proposal.
I think and this briefing by the higher education on the 24th of August. Yes. That's what you are proposing. Okay. I think to be briefed by the departments, if we are here in Parliament as members of Parliament, and these days allow us to, this is our days and our time as this select committee to sit. I think this entirely depends on the department if they will be available next week. I think if we do get them, it's okay. We can start with the briefing by Leisure and Recreation. I second you. Do I have the mic?
Chairperson, maybe I didn't go further why I proposed. Apparently on that day, they will be briefing the PC on just something got to deal with the bill before the PC
or the Department of Higher Education.
Chairperson, Mina, I just want to find out. There is only one briefing on the intervention, but I'm not in briefing. There is intervention to the Eastern Cape only one day. In my mind, was supposed to have. Are we going to be informed in such a way that, because we need to have a program on this monitoring this intervention so that we are able to advise the council Ubuti, these were the strategies of intervention, this is how far we monitor them, hence we recommend whether continuation of that intervention or the intervention is not working. But the ones of, I don't think that it will help us. It's my thinking.
Any question on the same? No one has a question on the same issue. Honorable de Villiers, I'm not going to give you if you check on your cell phone.
No, I'm just checking the date, Chairperson.
Yeah.
The date.
But you are holding. We are flimsy.
Yes. The 17th will be on the Wednesday. And the Thursday and the Friday. 17, 18, and 19. So it can be more than one day.
The what?
The intervention to the Eastern Cape. But I think it can be more. But maybe I will propose that the honorable chairperson of the committee, select committee, just make sure what will actually happen here in the NCOP on the other two days. And then we can accommodate the 3 days there. Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, and that on that day or that time, I will be with the Wapri in India.
Okay. Honorable members, when we submitted this program, we were not sure that it would be approved, but the program that we have tabled before the chairperson of committees and
the chief whip is that we'll be leaving on the 16th, coming back on the 19th. It's not one day. And I was thinking that the proposed program will be here so that we discuss it. But we can, maybe next week, in the next week meeting, create the time to go through that proposed program.
Chairperson, I was also going to comment on that, because we sit in the whippery, ne? And when we hear things of this committee in the whippery, we become surprised and we become agitated, and sometimes we respond, maybe we respond in a way that is going to affect you or to make you angry, healthy, ne? But when we heard about it yesterday in the whippery, we were shocked that there is a program of intervention to Eastern Cape. And we as this committee, we did not know that there is a program, and we did not discuss the program of the intervention. And also I'm just saying this, we don't need to discuss it. We can discuss it in another forum, maybe. There were people that had concerns on the intervention program that we do not know. Maybe the time, we do not have enough time, but we've got email, we've got cell phone that we can get SMSs that says there is this program, check on the program and come back with your responses. I'm just commenting on that.
Thanks to us. I'm tempted to answer to this, because I think that we'll discuss that at the right platform.
Okay.
But I know that when we send this program, giving the intervention, I can give you a letter to that, but we'll discuss that at the
The meeting is adjourned.